good to see everyone this morning. The Lord bless you and give you a warm welcome in our service this morning. And I'm certainly glad he rose again.
Amen.
You know, without everything that Jesus ever done, every word he ever spoke, every miracle he ever performed, it all hung upon the resurrection, whether or not he would rise from the dead.
Amen.
You know, if he hadn't rose from the dead, he just would have been another man. But praise God, the grave couldn't hold him.
Amen.
Jesus said, I have power to lay my life down. And I have power to raise it up again. And when he walked this earth, you know, the people didn't really believe him. Whether they believed him or not, his word was true. But it came to pass. Praise God. Amen. While we're standing, turning our Bibles to Judges chapter 15 this morning, and it's an Old Testament reading. You know, once Ian and me was on an outreach trip one time up around the northwest, and come the evening time we'd meet up for a bit of tea and a bit of fellowship and we'd be talking, and you know, one brother said that he never read the Old Testament. He didn't really see there's much point, you know, we're in the New Testament, you know, but the Old Testament isn't a separate book from the New Testament. The New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old.
Amen.
The Old is showing you in types and shadows, but the New is the realization of it. So if there's something you're finding hard to see in the New Testament, you know, I remember once when I was young, taking upon myself to read the Bible from cover to cover, and when it comes to the tabernacle, you know, and it's all the different colours of the materials and things that was used, I found it a bit boring. I couldn't really see much in what's all this recorded for. Why there are chapters upon chapters and books dedicated to this? But then, when you could see Christ in it, it was something powerful, praise God. It was something enjoyable to read. And you know, one preacher once said, I'm not sure who it was, I don't recollect his name, but he said, if you don't see Christ when you read the Bible, if you've read a portion and you don't see Christ, you need to read it again. You need to look for Christ,
amen.
Praise God. So the Old Testament is very, very valuable to us, and it's God's Word. And not one jot or tittle of God's Word shall pass away.
Amen.
Now this morning before we pray, I'm going to take up a reading in chapter 15, verse 9, right through to verse 19. Judges 15. And verse 9 through to verse 19. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. And Samson said unto them, swear unto me, that ye will not fall upon me yourselves. And they speak unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast, and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with two cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him.
Amen.
And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bonds loose from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore of thirst, and called to the Lord and said, thou hast given me this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hachor, which is in Lehi unto this day. Praise God. I'm going to end the reading there. Let's bow our heads for God's blessing upon us. Precious God, Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, and we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that you will touch these lips of clay, Lord, to speak your word. I pray, Lord, for the reading of thy word and the preaching of it. I pray, Lord God, that you'll quicken it to our hearts. And Lord, we pray that we will act upon it. And I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you yourself will be glorified. And I pray, Lord, that the work of the Holy Ghost will begin now even to work in our midst. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. I commit myself to you. Lord, I place myself in your hands. I pray, Lord, that every vain imagination, every thought of myself will be cast down. And only the words which you would have me to speak will come forth in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord God, now that as the seed will be sown, that you will water it.
Amen.
And give the increase. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Samson's he's a marvellous character, Samson. He's always found himself in trouble. Gets himself in a lot of trouble. And he's not very popular among his brethren. And he's always fighting. And wars going on. You know, once said he met a woman. It says, I don't like your church, there's always fighting in it. There's always a quarrel in it or a squabble. And she says, in my church there's perfect peace. And then Paisley says, oh, he says, the graveyard's full of peace, the peace of the dead. So if you go to lay down and do nothing, you know, you'll have plenty of peace. But God calls us to a fight.
We don't
fight, we do fight. You know, God doesn't give you armour so that you can sit way back at the back and watch everybody else and pour it in the bottle. No. God gives you armour so that you can take the hottest part of the bottle, praise God, and press the bottle to the gate.
Amen.
So to sit back and not fight, and to sit back and say nothing, that's not what God wants you to do. Onward, Christian soldiers, praise God.
Amen.
Somebody once wrote it a different way around and said, onward, backward, Christian soldiers fleeing from the fight with the cross of Jesus nearly out of sight. What a sad state that is today for many people today. But praise God. God always has somebody who can relate a stir, who make a fuss, and someone who's not afraid of what others think about them, someone who's willing to fight the good fight, praise God, because you know the devil, he's a shrewd operator, and the devil isn't sitting back with his arms folded. The devil's in a bottle, praise God, and we don't need Christians today to sit back and do nothing. We need Christians who's going to fight, praise God, and put the armour and the action. God has given us a double-edged sword.
Amen.
God wants us to use it this morning, praise God. Put it into use, praise God. Amen. We often hear about the blood of the basin. It's of no effect until it was applied. And the same goes with what God has given us. We must take it and use it, praise God. And we're going to take a look at Samson this morning and see how even Samson has done that same thing, praise God. Now for just a bit of an introduction. I don't want to spend too much time on the first few verses. Our brother John one time preached a sermon about the binding of Samson, a wonderful sermon. But I want to really just skip through that part this morning. But let us look at it briefly so we know what's happening. Praise God. Verse 9, it says, then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? And they said, to bind Samson, or we come up to do to him as he hath done to us. Now just quickly in these verses you see that I said that the enemy, the devil's not sitting back. The enemy sends in a troop against one man of God. He sends in an army to take out one man, praise God. You know, whenever God does something, he doesn't need a whole army to do it. God can do more with one man than what religious men and religious organisations can do with thousands, praise God. But you see here, the Philistines are gathered against this one man, Samson. And Samson has brethren. They're called the children of Judah. Now, Samson was of the tribe of Benjamin, but speaking in the sense that there were 12 tribes, Benjamin and Judah were brothers, so we can say that the tribe of Benjamin and Judah were brethren. They were related. They all had the same father, which was Jacob, praise God. So we see here that there was 3,000 men of Samson's brethren. Not one of them was willing to stand for him. Not one of them was willing to lift their finger against the enemy, to oppose the enemy. Not one of them was willing to speak well for Samson. No, but they were all too willing and all too quick, ready to hand Samson over. Now, many times I've said before when we spoke about Samson, Samson is a type of the church. And not only I want you to think of this morning when I'm speaking on this subject, you think of the church spiritual, you think of the church word, and also you think of yourself, praise God. And you can put yourself in this story if you find an appropriate place for you in the story. I believe God will have you fitted somewhere in this story, but also as a church as a whole. But we see that here is Samson, And he is a church in this type here where he is a potential to be dangerous to the enemy. So we see now that then there's another group, a religious group, which is a much bigger group. Now all we see that whenever God moves, he moves in small numbers, because as was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. There was only 8 souls saved in the whole world. But you see here, there's a religious group, and they had the same claims as Samson. Judah is our father, and he's the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. They all had great inheritance. They all had a great pedigree. But you see, your physical genealogy means nothing to God. And here we have 2 men of the tribe of Israel, 1 and 3,000. What, 2 groups? There's 1 man, a group of 1 man, and a group of 3,000. But this group of 3,000 religious leaders does absolutely nothing for God. They can talk plenty, they have plenty of things to offer in the sense of their heritage, but as far as actually doing something for God, they've absolutely nothing to do. In fact, instead of helping out God, they're actually going to work for the enemy. And you'll find that with churches today, once one man has a revelation from God, or once God begins to move upon one man, the spiritual world, that church world, will move in force with one accord to bang that one man. They don't want them breaking away, they don't want them setting the apple cart. Why? Because really they're working for the devil. They have the cloaks of righteousness, but really deep down under, they're working for the devil, their hearts as black as pitch. So these men, to fight against the enemy of Samson, actually what they do is to come up and they give the enemy a hand. We'll bind you. Praise God. Now, I want you to notice that there was 2 cords come upon Samson. And let's read verse 10. And look at these 2 cords. It says, they're bounded by 2 new cords. And the first cord is, listen to this, verse 10. And the men of Judah said, why are ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson, or we come up to do to him as he hath done to us. Sorry, it was verse 11. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam, and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? Now that just reminds me right back in the Garden of Eden. Hath God said. And surely they weren't telling a lie, because the Philistines were rulers over them. But as for Samson, they weren't ruling over him. He was a man of destruction. He caused it. He was a thorn in the flesh of the Philistines. So you see, what the first court is to come in one accord, all to come together in unity. In an ecumenical movement, they approach Samson and say, do you not know these men are ruling over us and you can't behave like that? So right away, they put a binding on him. You're not speaking as everyone else speaks. You're not in one accord. They try to create fear and they try to promote false circumstances, and also they begin to create doubt. Know you not? That was a false confession. That was a confession of unbelief. An unbelief is sin. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Now that was the first cord that they bound Samson with. And if you can ever be bound with that cord, your church doesn't say what the other church is saying. You're in danger. All the other churches are saying this, but you're saying that. We're going this way, but you're going that way. Do you not know? Banging up with the hands. Why? Because they don't want these hands to go into action for God. You need a hand to hold the sword, and you need a hand to hold the shield.
Amen.
And if these hands are bound, you are useless in the army of God. Praise God. Now what was the second banging, or the cord that they put on them? On the said, verse 11 or verse 12, they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines. Praise God. Now, and they said unto him, verse 13, I've just lost the place there. Verse 13, and they spake unto him, saying, no, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand, but surely we will not kill thee. And they bound him with 2 new cords and brought him up from the rock. So there was 2 cords. The first one was the confession of their mouth that brought fear. But the second one was they led him away from the rock. Now the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, praise God, verse chapter 10, verse 14, it says that there's a spiritual rock that followed Israel, where they all did drink. And why that rock followed them, they had everything they needed, because Paul says that rock was Christ.
Amen.
And here the second And that's what the devil wants to do to the church. Wants to bind your hands and wants to bind your feet. All other than Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is living sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God. You see what powerful cords these were that Samson was bound with. His hands and his feet were bound, plunging along. And what else? Where did this path lead to? It led to a downward spiral. These are the two cords that Samson was bound. They're deadly cords for any church. They're deadly cords for any individual. Now, verse 14, let us read it. I want to try and move through this little section. This is the bit here really what I want to focus upon. So we know now that when Samson comes to the enemy, he's bound and fettered. He's at a great disadvantage. And when he came on to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bonds loosed from off his hands. Now notice, there's not one mention of the God's Spirit coming upon the 3,000 men of Judah. Not one mention of them receiving of the moving of the Spirit. But here is a man that God is wanting to use. And here is a man who has been bound by the church, bound by people, bound by his fear, bound by the enemy. And here he comes down before him. He comes down before the enemy. And when the enemy see that he's trudging along and his hands is bound, they see, here he comes. He will have got him now. And there's a great morale in the camp of the Philistines, there's a great morale in the camp of the enemy. And they give up a shout, they give up a cheer, they give up a roar. But as they do, they think they're in victory. But God has other plans, praise the Lord.
Amen.
No. God comes seeking us. Before we could ever call upon the name of the Lord, before we could ever do anything to approach God, God came seeking us, praise God. And here is Samson, absolutely helpless. Now don't you think by Samson's own might he could have broke these cords? Samson was just an ordinary man. But his gift was a lot of strength. But that strength come from the presence of God.
Amen.
And here comes the power of God upon him, and it breaks these cords. Mightily the power of God comes upon him, praise God. And notice that it only comes upon him. Don't be looking that whenever God moves, it's going to be in big groups, big organisations. The Bible says that God will do nothing except he first reveals his secrets to the servants, the prophets.
Amen.
Praise God. But here we go, we'll have the one man bond, praise God. But God can do more with one man than the enemy can do with thousands, praise God. Now, we're in verse 14. Notice that right away, when the Spirit of God hits a man, or falls upon his man, everything that was holding him captive, everything that was binding him, he is delivered from it instantly. It didn't say that they took a blunt stone and started hacking away at the ropes on top of a wee while for him to get free. No, it says that immediately those cords were broke off his hands like they had been burnt with fire, and they came loose. And when he got his hands loose and he got his feet loose, he went in to attack. Praise God. You know, that's what it says. You can't attack the enemy with your arms bound together and your feet bound. But praise God, when God gives you a deliverance, and Samson got a deliverance, praise God. Samson was delivered from the hand of the enemy. Now let me say, on the road down from this rock, he was on a rock, and he comes down now from that rock. He was on a downward spiral, praise God. He was on his way to prison. He was on his way to slavery, on his way to bondage, on his way to be treated cruelly. And you know, that's just what the devil has for you. If the devil can ever just convince you by a word, to doubt one word, then he can get you away from that rock. And everything after that is a downward spiral. And the devil has nothing good for you this morning. The devil has nothing to offer you this morning. Praise God. But this man, Samson, praise God. God comes upon him, praise God, just by God's mercy and God's grace. And what does it do? Praise God. It delivers him immediately from the power of the enemy. Praise God. Now, let's read verse 15. This is really my key verse this morning. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. You know, I used to read that and I used to think, a new jawbone of an ass. And I thought to myself, you know, how could it be new? Because obviously if it was a bone, it was old. You know, but praise God, if we're going to see how it was new, and we're going to see how it was old, praise God. There's a little verse that says, the old story. Praise the Lord. is true. The old story. It is ever new. Praise God.
Amen.
So there's something old here, and there's something new. Praise God. It's not often you get somebody saying, come on, I'm going to bring you something new. But Samson got something new. Praise God. Now, this job on the nose. This is the key verse this morning, and everything that I say this morning from here on in is actually based upon this verse. Now, this jawbone that we see reminds me of something, praise God. It's an ass is a donkey, and a jawbone is part of a donkey's skull. And you know, when I read this, when I was studying about this here for the same one I preached for this morning, first thing I thought of was the place of a skull. Thought of Calvary. Thought of Golgotha's hill. They took him up to Golgotha, which is the interpretation of the place of a skull. So here we find Samson. Where did he get his deliverance? At the place of a skull. Where will you get your deliverance this morning? At the place of a skull.
Amen.
Calvary, praise God.
Amen.
Now, what else can we say about this skull? A donkey. What type of an animal is a donkey? Now, seems strange to you that I would refer to Christ or liken Christ onto a donkey. But a donkey is an animal of servitude. It's a donkey that men load up with burdens. Back in this time, donkeys were a very precious commodity. A great way of transport, a way like, now years that we have caravans now, but you know, back in the olden days, a caravan was maybe made up of camels and donkeys and horses. And people would load their loads. If they were moving or if they had to take a long journey, they would load up the donkey. So the donkey was a creature, an animal of servitude. And in Mark's Gospel, you read about Christ, the servant king.
Amen.
Christ was a servant, praise God. So here's two things we can link onto this here. We see Calvary, and we see Jesus Christ, praise God. Now, what else is there? This bone is evidence that a death has taken place. You know, that's why I thought it was strange. How could it be new? Because, you know, this donkey first had to be alive. Had to be a living creature. Then it had to die. And then it had the time for the rot and the flesh to decay off it to expose this bone. Praise God, the Bible says it was a new bone. Praise God, and the new jawbone of an ass. And it also, think then, if we see that the death, we also look to Calvary and we see a death. Praise God. Now, what is the newness? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he arose in newness of life, praise God.
Amen.
There's a newness of life that he imparts on to us so that we too, when we come to this place, it shows that there must be a death.
Amen.
If there's to be any progression, if there's to be any victory, if there's to be any stability, there's got to be a death.
Amen.
Without the shedding of blood, there's no hope for any man or woman. Without that place called Calvary, every man, woman, boy and girl is bound for hell. But praise God for the place of the skull.
Praise
Amen. God. Praise God. Amen. Isn't it wonderful this morning? Praise God. Now, what did this death do? Now, I'm sure God had this all worked out. You imagine now, the first day this little donkey was born. Well, somebody loved this little donkey, perhaps, and reared it up. Maybe some child used to love to get upon his back and take them back and forth. And they come into a stage in his life where then the younger began to put it to work. And that little donkey, I'm sure, was a faithful little donkey going about everywhere he went. But maybe one day, while the owner of this donkey was just unhappy along, leaving his donkey along, maybe that donkey just suddenly died at the spot where God knew Samson was going to be delivered to the enemy. And praise God that God sent his son to die in the place where the enemy was going to confront him. And he planted the tree, as a hymn says it, he planted the tree which he knew would be the old rugged cross.
Amen.
He made the seed for which that tree would grow. And on that tree, his son was crucified. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. This God knew that this donkey would have to die in this spot because he would have it for a greater purpose than what was currently being used for. But in order for that greater purpose to be fulfilled, it had to die. And God has a greater purpose.
Amen.
Now, also we see in Hebrews, let's just read 9, verse 16, if the brother puts it up on the screen. With this death comes a great power, praise God. Hebrews 9, verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator.
Amen.
So, the skull of this donkey was testimony that a donkey had been there and died, praise God. And now we free through the God's help and through the resurrection of Christ, we see that there had been the Son of God there who died, and we see he come to the empty tomb, that he's risen again. So that gives power to us this morning. Now, without that donkey ever having died, Samson could never have come up this jawbone to slay the enemy. But the donkey had died, praise God. What's it say? And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it. Praise God. When you take what God gives you, you can do many things for God, praise God. And he slew 1,000 men therewith. Now I want you to think this morning with the jawbone of an ass. Something God has placed there, especially for Samson. It's no mistake that that jawbone was there. It's no mistake that it was a bone of an ass. But God has specifically placed it there for Samson to slay the enemy, praise God. 1,000 Philistines. Now, I want to ask you this morning. Samson was just coming down from a rock. He was just living up there. He had no weapons with him. He had no shield with him. He had no armor with him. He had no boots, just perhaps a pair of sandals. But here comes the enemy, girded out with spears and shields and armors and swords, armored carriers, horses, chariots. They're all armored and equipped. But God, with the jawbone of an ass, praise God, by the death of Jesus Christ, you can slay every enemy that comes before you. And 1,000 men are gone just like that. Praise God this morning.
Amen.
Praise God. Samson slew the Lord's enemies. Let me ask you this morning, what are you doing with the Lord's enemies? What are you doing with the Philistines that's encamped round about you? What are you doing when they send out a shout against you? Do you bow your head and walk with your head down? Do you walk in defeat? Well, God wants you to walk in victory. Pick up the bow, praise God.
Amen.
Pick up the cross, praise God.
Amen.
Pick up what God has given you, praise God. You see, Samson had a responsibility to take that which God had provided for him. Praise God. With this great deliverance that Samson got, the bonds were loosed off his hand immediately. But with the great deliverance, there also comes a tool, a aid, which is able to keep that deliverance. And without that, you never keep your deliverance. But whenever you have an experience of Calvary, praise God, God is able to keep you, praise God. He's able to deliver you, praise God. Now, after this great victory, it was a mighty victory, 1,000 men was killed just like that with the jawbone of an ass. It says in verse 16, and Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. I'm sure Samson could hardly believe it. Looking at this jawbone of an ass, you know, this old bone has just saved my life. I would have been a goner. But now I feel like I can start my life all over again. See, it's new. Because of the death, it offered a new life. It granted Samson's life. Because if Samson had stood there idle with his head bowed and not gone into action, after them hands were loose, you've got to go into action.
Amen.
But if Samson had stayed with his head down and his hand down by his side and not a reach forth for that skull, not a reach forth for that jawbone, the enemy would have slew him. They would have took possession of him. But Samson's looking at this jawbone now and he's thinking to himself, what is this? And he looks all around his feet and everywhere there's dead bodies. And he sees the swords and all the most modern equipment of modern warfare at that time. And he looks at this jawbone. He says, man, what is this? A great army is slain and fallen at my feet with a jawbone of an ass. Heaps upon heaps. He could hardly walk or tip it over them. They were stacked up around him that much. Praise God. Heaps upon heaps with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men.
Amen.
Now, praise God. Now, verse 17. So here's Samson. I want you to picture him this morning. He's stepping over, he's this way here. And he can hardly believe what's happened. Now, just a moment ago, my hands were bound. Just a moment ago, I could hardly get one foot past the other. Just a moment ago, my heart was heavy. Just a moment ago, I was full of fear. But now, what has happened? It all happened so quick, a physical man couldn't comprehend it. And he's looking at this jawbone, and he says, and he looks down at the dead bodies, he looks at the jawbone, with the jawbone of an ass, he killed 1,000 men, and then he goes, wicked. Can't hardly believe it. You see, something very, very simple that God had used. What does it say, verse 16, verse 17? And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramoth Lehi. Now, Ramoth Lehi means the casting away of the jawbone. Now imagine here he's found this great victory, and he looks at his hand when he's got his hand, and he thinks it's just a piece of bone. Cast away. Ramoth Lehi called that place, casting away of the jawbone. Now that was a fatal mistake. Praise God. Mm-hmm. What did we say that jawbone was likened onto? The place of the skull. Now, the devil has just suffered a heavy defeat. The enemy has just lost 1,000 men just in the blink of an eye like that. Now, with that jawbone in his hand, I'm not sending no more troops into there because that is lethal. I'm not sending another one of my men in there because I'll surely die. But whenever Samson casts it away, the devil begins to think, now, hold on a minute. He's left something off very important here. So the devil, not having as many men as he did, he begins a new tactic of warfare. And we've heard tell of the guerrilla tactics, haven't we? You know, fighting from the sidelines. You know, it's good to have a battle face to face where you just go in and you sort the thing out. But then you see, when the enemy's outpowered and outnumbered and outstrangled, they revert to guerrilla tactics where they start shooting from the sidelines. Now, remember I'm saying this at the time of the church? If you can fit yourself in these scriptures, you put yourself in them, praise God. And between verse 17 and verse 18, I just want to take a little bit of time this morning just to go through what happens between these two verses and what can happen between these two verses. You see, once he casts the jawbone away, then Satan comes in as a sniper with wee cheap shots, wee voices. He didn't really need that anyway, so that's history. You know, the cross is something, that's Sunday school stuff, that's for little children. You know, Jesus dying on the cross, you know, that's only milk, forget about that now, let's move on a bit. Now, if you just listen to me, come on, I'll introduce you to a bit more light. Come on, you know, you're hungry for God, aren't you? You want to do something for God? Well, Samson's just come from a revival, so yes, he's hungry for God. Come with me, Samson, I'll show you a bit more light. Now, you'll not have to worry about that no more. That's been over and done with. Just that's good. You had, that was good that done for that part of your life. Now, let's come into a little bit more light. Let's come now and look at some of these other scriptures. And what we'll do is, Samson here, we'll give you a new interpretation of the Bible. And from these new interpretations, really see how much more God's Word's enlightened. There's lots more revelation. It's a lot easier to understand. Come now and we'll give you some more revelation on Samson. You're only getting started. Wait till you see the truth that you learn over with this group. Come on into our group. Come on into our fellowship. Come on with me. Samson, that there is only wee kiddie stuff. Come with me to see the truth we lead you in. And once you get truth, have you heard about the mysteries? Well, there's so many mysteries. If you haven't lived till you've heard about the mysteries, come now quick and see. Samson, come on. There's much more. Forget about that. That's not important no more. Let's go, come on now. We'll go now and we'll start up a new organisation because we've got more light. Just forget about them as back there. Forget about that place in the skull. Forget about that place called Calvary. Forget about the man dying on that tree. Forget about the shedding of that blood. No, you see it. You've accomplished what it was meant to do. It served its purpose. Now let's move on to something else. Praise God. Samson, what do you have there? It was alright in this time. But now it's become the stock. Now it's just a chaff. God's not interested in that no more. Come now quick. Come on, we'll show you something greater. Well, let's come up to the higher place. Samson, you were eating that old bread down there, but now that bread's blue mold. That's old manna. That manna's stale. Don't be eating that no more. Come. Satan's a cute bile, you know. And he's always wanting... Now, notice how everything here is to an intellectual point. Satan is an intellectual enemy. And he doesn't want you to think that when you come with him you're backsliding. He wants you to think that whenever it's an optical illusion. You ever get one of those? Sometimes you think you're going up a hill, but really you're going down it. Well, that's what his is like. He wants to think you're going up high, but really and truly you're going down. Samson, Forget about the blood, don't worry, we don't need the blood. Sure, listen, you'll offend people preaching about the blood. Samson, that's gory. We don't need that there now. Come on, we're civilised people here. We've all got together. We can't promote killing people and crucifixions and blood and death. What sort of a gospel is that? We don't need that no more, praise God. Samson, I know at that place there was something had to take place, repentance. You're never going to preach nobody if you're going to preach repentance. People don't want to change their lives. People just want to, you know, if people's going to follow God and just clean up their lives a little bit, that's alright. But repentance, just leave that one to the side. And then also when we come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, well, look at all the fanaticism around that. We don't want that. Stay away from that. There's so much stuff goes on there. We don't want anything like that. Everything that the devil had to offer Samson seemed good, but it was all intellectual. But you see, whenever Samson spends a little bit of time under the tent of the enemy like this, whenever you begin to listen to the devil's reasoning, you'll find yourself in a dry place. And Samson found himself in a dry place. Praise God, because we know here that in the next verse it speaks that he's going to be dying of thirst. Now, Samson found himself in amongst a bunch of dried up sticks, a bunch of dried up intellectuals, plenty of head knowledge, but nothing in the heart. No spirit of God, plenty of man's works, plenty of man's wisdom, plenty of intellectual things, plenty of things to keep your mind busy. But you know, you'll never find no edification in a place like that. You'll not go to a meeting with that sort of things preached, or if you're listening to a preacher like that, you'll never come out of a meeting having any kind of edification. You'll come out with plenty of education, but no edification. So Samson, he begins contemplating. And hold on a minute, he begins to think. Because you see, Samson had an experience, so he has something now to relate to. He may have listened to the voice of the enemy for a while, and he said he made a very bad mistake when he cast that jawbone away. Now, he begins contemplating, and he says to this old enemy, now he's been firing his shots, "You said I would have more light here, but the sun has went down, and I'm cold. Maybe the sun has went out, and that's why you're cold." That's the way, praise God. He says, "You said to me, this coat will keep you warm, but you never produced any coat." A bit like what James says in the second chapter of James. He says, you give a man the clothing and say, eat and be warm, get with all, you don't give him no things equal of the flesh, he's of no benefit. He said, "You said there was eagles here, but I failed away to nothing, and I'm malnourished. You said there was a well here full of water, but I never got a drop of it. And now, I'm sore of thirst." You see, if you ever get to a place where God uses you, if you ever get to a place where the Spirit of God comes upon you, and then you get away from that, pretty soon you'll begin to thirst. Pretty soon God will make your place such a dry place that you'll begin to perish. That you'll call out for a drink of living water. Praise God. Amen. But where he was, there was no living water. Praise God. Amen. You know, if you ever get into a dry place like that, you know, one of the first things to go in your body when you don't drink is your eyesight. And pretty soon, you're groping in darkness. And if you don't get a drink, you'll be totally blind. And you'll die eventually of thirst, praise God. Verse 18, let us read verse 18 on me. "And he was sore of thirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst." Samson was thirsty, about to perish. Praise God. Samson calls upon the name of the Lord because he recalls. He says, "You've given this great victory into my hand." He begins to recall the things that God has done for him. He begins to recall how he used to walk in joy and victory, and now it was gone. What a sad thing it is that whenever you have walked in a place where God is blessing you with joy and victory, that it actually shows on your face. What a blessing it is that it shows so much that you can raise your hands in church to praise God. But now he never feels like that because it's gone. Praise God. The psalmist David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Amen. Because there's a time when we can walk through dry places and we need to be restored unto the joy of God's salvation. Praise God. If God doesn't now provide Samson with this water, he's going to die. Praise God. Now, what a testimony It is. Let us contemplate just for briefly. I'm going to move on. I'm going to finish soon. What a testimony it is if the church gets away from the simple gospel, how thirsty it's going to get. If the church calls it Ramoth Lehi, the casting away of the jawbone, the casting away of the cross, we're going to perish for thirst. We're going to have no water. What a sad thing it is when men think they don't need the cross. What a sad thing it is. You know, just last night I was reading a little bit about Billy Graham, and Billy Graham was used mightily of God, but you know, I read that a quote that he had said in 2007 or something, that he said that he believed that Buddhists and Mohammeds, all people, though they might not necessarily know Jesus Christ, they believe in something, and if they're walking towards that light for what they believe, he believes will be in heaven, he believes will be there with us. But you know, Jesus didn't say that. He said, accept them all and be born again.
Amen.
You cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, that's ecumenicalism. You cannot get to heaven any other way. You cannot bypass the cross. You can't. And if you ever come to that place, there's going to be a death. It's not going to be nice. There's going to be a battle. You can't continue your Christian life and not fight. You've got to fight. Praise God. Now, what a testimony it is if the church ever gets away from the cross. They're dying. They're full of corpses, groping in the darkness. No blood, no cross, no life, no nothing. Just the devil's message. That's all you have without the cross. Praise God. Now, praise God. There's a journey back. Praise God. And God restores his people. Praise God. Now, verse 19, let us just read it again. But the God cleared and hollow place that was in the jaw. Praise God. Now remember, he cast that away. But where did God make the water come from? Back there at Calvary. Praise God. Amen. So Samson had to give. He threw it away. And now he has to find it. He has to get back to it. If he doesn't get back to the cross, he's going to die. But praise God, God cleared the whole place in the jaw. Praise God. God responded to his prayer. And if you call upon God to save you and deliver you, God will surely do it. Now, God brings him back to the place where he was first delivered. The place of victory and of strength and of boldness. The place of joy and a desire to accomplish and to do the things of God and for God. See, while he was doing this here, he was in God's will. He was fighting the Lord's army, the Lord's enemies, and he had lots of joy and victory in his life. He had boldness just to take up what God was giving him, and to go forward into action. He didn't begin to think, can I accomplish what God wants me to do with this? You can accomplish what God wants you to do with the things he has given you. You don't need anything else. Amen. Praise God. This is it. Amen. God's sword. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Where does he bring him? He brings him back to the cross. Praise God. Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Hallelujah.
There are precious fountain.
Amen.
Flows for all the healing stream. Free for all the healing stream. Flows from Calvary's mountain. Praise God. Now, something has to do. In order to say it, when he found that jaw, he had to go into action, had to take it up. Now, the water is coming out of the jaw. And in order for Samson to get that water, he must go back to it. Now, what does he have to do? What does he find on his way back? He finds a graveyard. Praise God. Amen. I like this. You know, what does he do? He sees that graveyard and he thinks right away of the mighty deliverance that God wants to give him. Praise God. He begins chopping out over one or two of these old bones. And he says, oh, I see a headstone in this boy. He was called nicotine addiction. Praise God. Every which way I've heard of a torn this way, I see a court before the cases. great graveyard, there's many, many bones lying, praise God. Amen. He also sees the bones of sickness. I remember somebody once told me, you come to me and told me, I was one tonight. Then God's word to remember that says you'll not die.
Amen.
And now you've got you. I'm stomped on your head. God. Then he comes to one. Fear. Oh, I remember that one. He was a bad, bad devil. That devil fear. Oh, he had me so much fear. I thought himself and the fear of my mom. What people think. Oh, I can remember when those 3,000 men of Judah came up. And they all said, do you not know their rulers over us? Oh, the fear that was upon me. I was just one man taking a stand. And there was 3,000 men. Oh, the fear that filled my heart. Oh, I remember the fear they said, you can't stand this. Deliverance, praise God.
Amen.
Now, the bone's just within reach, but before it gets to the skull, there's one more quartz. And that quartz is called Self. And he says, oh, Self, I see you're not alone. Around about you, you have a company with you called excuses. Oh, what a mighty day it was when I come to Self.
Amen.
What a mighty day it was when Self was brought into subjection. What a mighty day
right.
When excuses were counted and blew away. Oh, I can't be just in the day because I've got an appointment to keep next week and God wouldn't be happy with the place I'm looking to go. Oh, I can't be a Christian because I see these Christians here all the time worrying and fighting and debating. If that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be one. That's an excuse. Jesus Christ was a real Christian. He's the example, praise God.
Amen.
You want to know what a Christian is? You look at Jesus Christ. Don't look at anything else. Look at him. Once you take your eyes off him, you'll fall. Just like Peter, when he took his eyes off the water, when he began to walk on the water, he began to sink. And if you ever take your eyes on the cross or take your eyes on the Lord, you'll surely fall. But praise God, excuses was there all around himself. Oh, I don't think I'll come today. Maybe tomorrow. That was an excuse, praise God. These excuses hold you back for a long, long time, praise God. I couldn't keep it. That was another lie from the devil. Oh, what a lie! I couldn't come to him, he wouldn't accept me. That's an excuse. Jesus said, all that come unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You say, praise God. He gets past this word for me, he rejoices and thanks God. And I thank the Lord God for giving me this great deliverance. Oh God, how could I ever forget? How could I ever forget? Praise God. How could I ever forget? I used to sit on the fence. I used to be one who said, I'm neither in or out. I'm not for, I'm not against. You know, I was just listening to a sermon Jack Hope preached recently, and he said that he never liked people who sat on the fence, because when they got down, they always got down on the wrong side. They always got down on the wrong side. You know, but we were once like that. Are you like that this morning? Are you sitting on the fence? Are you hardening your heart? Are you saying, treasures are in heaven are eternal, praise God. Amen. God doesn't need cards. No. I'm not saying this morning you're a card. But you've got to have backbone to come and take a stand for God. You've got to be a man. You've got to be a woman, praise God. You've got to have courage.
Amen.
Because you're going to go into the battle, praise God. Amen. Praise God. Now, I just want to wrap up here quickly, praise God. Now, whenever he came to this place of great deliverance, he found joy there. Because he just seen what God had done for him. And also he was receive you this morning just as you are. He received you backslider this morning. Will you come back to him? There's mercy there to receive the backslider this morning. Praise God. Praise God. There's mercy to receive those who have spurned God's voice. Praise God. Amen. Now, whenever he's on this road back, he realizes that his biggest mistake was the casting away of the jawbone. The casting away was a very costly mistake for him, and he realizes that men who do without the cross, who try to work without the cross, that pretty soon they die of thirst, praise God. He thought once that when he would come to the cross and got saved, that the work of the cross was finished, but now he finds out this jawbone, this week, verse 19, when God came and hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water there out, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again. Praise God. He was dead. He finally lay and died with a drink of alone, but he poured in the oil and the wine. Praise Amen. God. Amen. Samson found when he got back to the cross, he had a revival. His spirit come again. For a long time he walked in dry places where his spirit was never moved. The spirit of God never touched him. But now that he comes back to the cross, he sees that this cross, there's more in it than salvation. There's more in it than deliverance. There's healing here. There's a well of life is here. There's a spring full of water, an artesian well. There's direction here. There's communion with God. There's fellowship, and there's also correction. Praise God. Samson comes to that place. He called it in Hakor. And that means the well of him that calleth. You see, if you call upon the Lord, God will answer you, praise God. And God will provide you. Are you sore of thirst this morning? Are you thirsting for the water of life this morning? Has Satan deprived you of that water? Has Satan sidetracked you away from the cross? Are you perishing while you're walking through dry places this morning? Well, if you call upon the name of the Lord, he'll bring you back.
Amen.
He'll receive you, praise God. That's what God is. God is love. God will receive you, praise God.
Amen.
Now, praise God. I'm just closing here, praise the Lord, this morning. When he discarded the cross, he left God. But when he came back, he found the still same God, and all his benefits and all his power never had left that place.
Amen.
Praise God. They were still there. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. I'll just close that verse. Billy can put it up on the screen. Praise God. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. All the salvation. Amen. You'll need power in your life, praise God. Let us stand on our feet this morning. You'll need power in your life to overcome the devil. You'll not overcome him without him. You'll never do nothing except you first come to the cross, praise God. Let you have your day at Calvary, like Brother Branham once said. If you have your day at Calvary, God will have his way with you, praise God. That's what we need this morning, praise God. Let us sing that hymn. Jesus, keep me near the cross. They're a precious fountain. They're the bright morning. Praise God. Amen. Jesus, that's wonderful this morning. We want the Lord to keep us near the cross. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. This morning, I'm going to just sing this morning. And let's just take our time this morning just to worship the Lord. Let's just go on a quarter past. Let's take 15 minutes. Praise God. And worship the Lord this morning. And
Amen.
This morning, let us sing this in an attitude of prayer. If you want prayer this morning, or perhaps if you would like to speak to someone that's after the service, maybe some of these things have spoke to your heart. This will have you like to speak about it. If you want to come for prayer, by all means come, because God will receive you. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. We're just going to take the time to worship. Praise God. And say, if you want to come for prayer, we'll pray for you. And we believe that the Lord will bless you, because God's word is true. Praise God. Amen. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, a precious fountain. Free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mouth.